Morning. Today's daf in Kedushin is Yudalid. Freilich Shushan Purim. Second Shushan Purim this year. We are in the bottom of Yigim on Base. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lulu Zech Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We start the Gemara on the very bottom of Yavama, Nikdas Bibia. So, how is the Kenyan of Yavama work? Well, once again, we go back to the Mishnah that we learned 2 weeks ago. And the Mishnah talked about the various Kenyanim in terms of relationships. The first relationship the Mishnah focused on was a woman getting married. So, three ways she can get into marriage, and two ways she can extract herself out of a marriage. Then the Mishnah turned its attention to a Yavama. Yavama can get into Yibum in only one way. And that, of course, is through Bia. And extraction from Yibum can be done through either through Chalitza or the death of the Yavam. One of the two will extract her from her Zika, from her connection to her Yavam. That is what we learned back in the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to spend some time going over some of the sources of these halachas. The Gemara starts off very bottom of Yigimel Medbeis, a Yavama, Niknes Bibia. So the acquisition of a Yavama is done through Bia. The Gemara wants to know, Bibia Minalan. Now, how do I know that Bia is a method of Kinyan when it comes to a Yavama? Now, in terms of the Bia itself, so the Torah is very clear, Yavama Yavava Allah. The Torah says very clearly that the nature of the relationship between a Yavama and Yavama is that in order for it to be concretized, he has relations with her. So the fact is that really the Pasuk spells it out. You know, as much as the Torah is going to spell out relations, but the Torah spells it out. But really, what the Gemara is asking is, of course they're going to have Bia with one another. But how do I know that Bia is the means in which Kinyan is made? Meaning Kinyan can be done in a number of ways. Cast of Shtar are two ways that works by a man and a woman in general. How do I know that Bia is actually the means of Kinyan? That really is what the Gemara is asking over here. So I'm a Kro, Yavama Yavala Allah. So the Torah says that the Yavama has relations with her. Sorry, the Yavam has relations with the Yavama. Ulekachalo Isha. And that's the means of Likuchin. In fact, if you take a look at the top Rashi over here, Klamar, Biasa Hein Likicheha. It's that the Bia itself is creating the Likicha, creating the status change between the Yavam and Yavama, where now through the Bia they become husband and wife. Vehim Lakula Milsa. Kisha. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the way that a man marries a woman, Kesef Shar and Bia, are going to be all useful in terms of a Yavam and Yavama. Meaning, maybe if the Yavam gives the Yavama money, Kesef Kiddushin, that works. Maybe if the Yavam gives Shtar to the Yavama, maybe that works. So the Gemara says, so how do I know that it's limited to Bia, and how do I know that the other means of acquisitions are not going to work? Lo Sakadacha, the Gemara says, nope, we're not going to, that's not open for discussion. Titanya, and the Gemara here quotes a Braisa. Yachli, Kesef Shtar Gomrim Ba, Kiderch Shehabia Gomeres Ba. Now here the Braisa entertains the Havamina. I might have thought that Kesef and Shtar are going to work as it relates to Yav and Yavama. So Tamalamra, V'yivma, Bia Gomerzba, V'in Kesef and Shtar Gomerimba. No. The Torah says V'yivma, meaning it's a miyut, it's a limitation. Only Bia is going to create a connection, a relationship between Yav and Yavama and not the other means. V'eima mai V'yivma debalkarcha. So the Gemara is, debalkarcha. Yeah, so miyavam. So the Gemara says, well, maybe viyavma is coming to teach us halacha b'karcha. The halacha b'karcha we already went through back in Masech Viyavamos, and that once there's a zika between a yavam and a yavama, so then she does not have, unlike a regular woman who enters into the marriage, you need her consent. You do not need the consent of a yavama. There are various Gemaras that we saw back in Yavamos that said that if it's not an appropriate match between the yavam and yavama, because remember, it's a shidduch that was designated because Baruch Hu determined the shidduch, and sometimes age-wise it doesn't work out, meaning it just simply may not be appropriate. So there are times where basically Basin will take the Yavam under advisement and say to him, look, this may not be the best shidduch. But with all that stated, I'm just trying to sugarcoat it a little bit. But with all that stated, but the bottom line is that the Yavama does not need consent in terms of going in. So the Gemara says, what we learn there from the pasuk of Vivma. So you're trying to extract another halacha from Vivma. You're trying to teach me that Vivma is coming in to teach me that only Bia, no other means, not Kesef and not Shtar. And meanwhile, we already have it dedicated to the halacha of Balkarcha. So the Gemara says, Imkein Lemakra Vivam. My Vivma Shmami Natarta. So the Gemara says that extra hay. That extra hay is going to generate the secondary halacha. So we are actually learning now from the word v'yima two halachas. One, it's bia, which is going to create the kinyan, not kesef and not shtar. Two, it's bia, and it could also be done balkarcha. You don't need her consent in the yavam yavama relationship. Okay, so that is how a yavam and yavama go from being a yavam to yavama to husband and wife. It's through bia. What about the termination of the relationship between yavam and yavama? So the Gemara says chalitza. So going back to the Mishnah says there are two ways in which she can be extracted from this relationship. Now, mind you, once they have bia, so no, they're no longer yavam and yavama. They're now called husband and wife. In other words, the Gemara in Yavamas tells us a number of times that once bia has been done, once the mitzvah has been done, so now, for all intents and purposes, they're now husband and wife. They want to separate. They want a severance. So it's going to be a get. But right now we're talking about within the relationship of Yavam Yavama, before bia was done, and he wants an extraction from the bond that connects them. The bond is called a zika. So how is that done? So the Mishnah says there are one or two ways to do it. One is chalitza. So minalan, the Gemara says, now how do I know that? Dichtiv, nikrash ma b'Yisrael beis chalutza nal. Now again, with the Gemara's question over here is the same as we asked earlier. Meaning, the Torah talks about chalitza. It's not like we don't know about chalitza. What the Gemara now is asking is, how do I know that chalitza breaks the zika? What's the source that it's, the chalitza is obviously a ceremony, it's obviously a mitzvah. But how do I know that it is the actual key that unlocks the bond between the two of them? That's really the Gemara's question. To which the Gemara says, that if you look at the Pasuk says, V'nikra Shema B'Yisrael Beis Chalutza Na'al. Kaven Shechalat Ba Na'al, once she removes the shoe off of his foot, Hutra L'Chol Yisrael. It's at that point in time she becomes Muteras L'Chol Yisrael. This is the mechanism which releases her. So, Ha Yisrael Hula Hachidasa Ami Ba'ile. Once again, the Gemara is bothered by the fact that we have other halachas and other drashas that are being extracted from the same pasuk. The Gemara says, "Lechitidni Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda beYisrael beVeisin sheYisov avelo beVeisin sheOv dikochavim." That's the girsa that we have in our Gemara. The girsa as we have in our Gemara is that in order to be a member of a beisin for a chalitza, you have to be of a Jew, and you cannot be beisin sheOv dikochavim, not of a non-Jew. That girsa that we have in our Gemara is a little bit of an odd girsa. Beisin shel Ov de Kochavim, that's not a Beis Din at all. Meaning, it's what exactly is that? That doesn't. The word Beis Din is totally inappropriate over here. If you look at the Bach over here, the Bach has a different gears than the Gemara, and it's not Beis Din Shel Gerim. A Beis Din comprised up of Gerim. That's a now that's something we can hear. Meaning, because Gerim are Jews for all intents and purposes. However, there are going to be small limitations. One limitation is that they can't convene a Beis Din. Now, does that mean a generic Beis Din they can't convene, or does it mean specifically for the purposes of chalitza? That's open for discussion and debate. But that's it's an easier girsa just to hear in the Gemara in terms of what we're coming to minimize. Again now, so the point the Gemara is making is, you just saw another halacha get extracted from the word B'Yisrael. So, and we're trying to learn out two halachas from one word. Gemara says, you can't do that. So the Gemara says, Trei B'Yisrael K'sivei. So the Gemara says, if you go through the Pesukim, by Yibum, so you're going to find that it says Yisrael not once, but rather twice. So that allows for the two halachas to be generated. V'akatmi B'Yilei L'Chedetani, the Gemara says, but I have another halacha that's also generated, which is Amar Rav Yehuda Pamachas, Hainu Yoshim Lefnei Rabbi Tarfon. There was one time where we were in front of Rabbi Tarfon, Uvasi Yavama Lachlotz, and the Yavama came and did the procedure of Chalitza, the Amar Lanu, and Rabbi Tarfon told us, Anu Kulchem. Now there's a speaking part over here, meaning it's not enough just to go through the sequence of removal of the shoe, spinning her spinning in a general direction, and there's an Amira, and then there's also she has a speaking role, right? Those are the three basic elements of every Chalitza. Removal of the shoe, spitting, I'm not sure if I'm giving in the right order. Removal of the shoe, spitting, and she has a kacha yase. I'm still back on yesterday's Megillah, but she also says something along the lines of, this is what's going to be done for the person who doesn't want to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum. Anyway, so but on top of that, on top of all that, Rabbi Tarfon's telling us another halacha, which is that when the Beis Din sees the chalitza being done, so they have to do an aniyah. They also have a response, and their response is v'amru chalutza nal, chalutza nal. So they have a requirement of to say that this woman is in fact freed. So the Gemara says, "Hahumi v'nikras shemo nafka." So the Gemara again, just it's a little bit of accounting on the Gemara's part. The Gemara says, "No, that comes out v'nikras shemo." Right, and he will be called. Well, who's going to be doing the calling? Now we know it's Basin who's going to be doing the calling. That's where the halacha is generated from. So now everything's fine. We have one Yisrael to tell us that the chalitza is the mechanism in which she becomes freed. We have another Yisrael telling us that in order to have the officiating of a chalitza, it must be done by a group of Jews, and to exclude, according to our Gemara of the Kochavim, but according to the Bach, Gerim. And then we have a third halacha that when the Beis Din actually sees a chalitza being done, so they have to declare Beis Chalutzanal. Those are the three halachas. Next, the Gemara points out there's another way that a Yavama can be extracted from her bonded position, and that is Mises HaYavam, meaning now her husband died. Well, first her husband died, she now has a Zika to the Yavam. Now if, obviously, this is not something you can orchestrate, of course you can, but like to keep this nice and parv. So the Gemara says that the Mises HaYavam, if the brother dies as well, so now there's no longer a brother, so therefore she goes free de facto. It's nice and easy. Now the Gemara says Minalan, very similar to how we ended off yesterday's daf. It's kind of like a funny question of the Gemara. The Yavam is no longer alive. How do I know she's free? Meaning, what are your options right now? Right, she's going to be indefinitely bonded to somebody who no longer is alive. But again, the Gemara, like we saw at the end of yesterday's daf, the Gemara is now looking for a source in this in the Torah. Meaning, where can we hang our hat and say this is a pasuk that describes that the Mises HaYavam is going to be allowing her to marry whomever she wants. So minalan kavachomer uma eshes ishu bechenek mises abal matirasa yavam ishi balav lo kol shekein. So the Gemara says, well, let's make the following argument. You have a married woman. Her husband dies. Now, prior to the death of her husband, if she committed adultery, so that's chenek. It's a capital crime with a capital punishment. That's what a capital crime means. So it's a capital crime with a capital punishment. Now, in a parallel scenario, if I have a yavama where her husband's dead and now she has the yavam and she's bonded to her yavam, if she has relations with another man while in that bonded state, what's the punishment? It's a lav. It's a negative prohibition. That's it. So if the death of the husband, which is punishable by, if her relations with another man is punishable by chenek, is going to free her, so then the death of her yavam, which is much lighter in terms of a punishment, is also going to free and release her. So it's a very strong kavachomer. So the Gemara says, "Malei sheishikain yotze beget, tamer bezusha and yotze beget." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but I have a pircha on your kavachomer. Let's look at the husband. The husband can free her, and the truth of the matter is the husband can free her with a get. A yavam can't free his yavama with a get." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but that's not such a pircha. Hanami yotze bechalitza." Okay, Gemara says, "But the yavam has a way of extracting himself out of the zika, and that's called chalitza." So it still is parallel, and it still will therefore be a good kavachomer. Osra matira. So the Gemara says, I'll ask the following pircha. This seems to be a good one. Look at the husband. The husband dies, and he's going to release her with his death. But the Gemara says, yeah, but he's the cause of her Isser to begin with. Meaning he's the one who gave her the status of Isser by marrying her. So therefore, if he's the one who quote-unquote locked her into her position, so his death is going to release her as well. But that's not the true by Yavam. The Yavam didn't do anything himself in order to put her in that position. It's the husband who died who now put her in that position. So the Yavam is not the Oser. So if the Yavam is not the Oser, his death may not necessarily be the Matir. That's right now the Gemara's question on our Kavachomer. So Amravashi Anami Osra Matira, Yavam Osra, Yavam Sharila. So the Gemara says, well, we're gonna turn on that point. And the Gemara now wants to argue, no, it's not true. The Yavam is the one who creates the Isser. Meaning, had the Yavam not been there, what would have happened? Had there been no surviving brother, what would have happened is she's free to go. What's keeping her now in this relationship is the existence of the Yavam. So what the Gemara said, it's not the Yavam who locked her up. The Gemara now is turning on that very point, and the Gemara now is saying is, no, that's not true. The Yavam did lock her up. It's the Yavam's existence that creates the Yisr, where now she cannot be with any other man, because she's bonded to her Yavam. So the Yavam locked her into that position. Now the death of the Yavam confirmed from that position as well. Okay, so now that we basically still have resurrected our Kal V'chomer, and now we're at the position where we can make the argument, we are making the argument, that the death of the Yavam is going to free her. It should be no worse, in fact, it's even stronger argument than that of the death of the husband who's going to free her. Okay, so we're satisfied. The Gemara is satisfied with the Kal V'chomer, and now we know that the death of the Yavam is going to free her. The Gemara says, now the Gemara says, now let's go in the other direction. Let's say a man's married to a woman and he wants to release her. So what do we have right now? Two means. Number one, get. Number two is death. Gemara says, why don't we add a third? Why don't we add chalitza? Why don't we argue now that the chalitza that a husband does to his wife is going to free her? And the Gemara says, and we'll construct a logical argument to make such a case. Now look, when it comes to the Yavama, get doesn't work. And meanwhile, chalitza does. Zush, yotze beget. Over here, in the husband and wife, where get does work, eino din shiyotze bechalitza. So you see that the husband can release his wife. So if the husband can release his wife with a get, he should be able to do so with chalitza. We see chalitza works when get doesn't work. So for sure, chalitza should work even when in a place where get works. So Amar Kras, Sefer Krisa, Sefer Korta, Vein Davar, Acher Korta. So the Gemara says, nope, because we've seen this already a number of times. We saw this at the end of Gittin. We already saw in the beginning of Kedushin. And that is that only a get is going to create severance between a man and a woman. Nothing else will create severance between a man and a woman. Meaning, the logic is good. The Torah says otherwise. The Gemara says, now why don't we allow a get to work as it relates to a Yavam and Yavama? Meaning, allow a Yavam to write a get for his Yavama, and that should release her. So the Gemara says, and here now we're just going to basically invert the Kal V'chomer. Look, chalitza by husband and wife doesn't work. So chalitza doesn't work by husband and wife, and get does. So if chalitza works by Yavam and Yavama, for sure get should work. So the Gemara says, yotze bechalitza, yotze beget, zush yotze bechalitza, ain din shiyotze beget, amakra kacha, v'kacha ikuva. So the Gemara says, no. Because when the Torah speaks out the mechanism of chalitza, the Torah says the word kacha. Kacha means this, and the way we're darshaning, and only this is going to be the way of severing the Yavam from the Yavama. Gemara now says, is that always true? That when you see the word kacha, it means this and only this, and there's no other way to do it? The Gemara says, consider the following. Anytime we have an ikuv, so we are banned from making Kal V'chomer. The Gemara says, but that's not true. Now look, when it comes to Yom Kippurim, we know the Torah says Gorel and the Torah says Chuka. Meaning, the Torah says, how do I make the selection of which goat is going to be thrown off the cliff, the Seir Lazazel, and which goat is going to be the Seir Lashem? It's going to be the special chatas that's offered in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So what we do is we take two goats, and they're going to be identical in as to the best of the ability, and we're going to have a lottery. Right? It's Kippurim. It's just like Purim. So so we're going to have a lottery. And the lottery is going to make the determination of which goat's going to be Lashem and which is going to be Lazazel. On top of that, the Torah also writes the word Chuka, which means it has to be a lottery. It has to be a lottery, and there's simply no other way to do it. So now the Gemara says, so what do we have right now? I have a formula of how to do things on Yom Kippur, and I have the word Chuka, which means that this is the way it has to be done. And now the Gemara says, now if that's all true, we just learned that once we have all this in place, we have no ability to make a Kal V'chomer. But the Gemara says, now watch what's going to happen, because we're about to make a Kal V'chomer. V'tanya, v'asau chatas, agarol sa chatas, v'neshem osa chatas, that the Goro makes a chatas and not Hashem. Meaning Hashem over here means a simple declaration. If the Kohen Gadol makes a declaration, that's not going to work. It has to be through Goro. Now, shiachav alo dinhu. Now, I would have thought that maybe declaration works. Why? Excuse me. Ma'am, makam shalom, kiddush agarol, kiddush Hashem. Because let's turn to our attention to another area in Hilchos Kachim where declaration works and Garul doesn't work. Notably, Rashi over here points out, let's say a woman gives birth and she has to bring a pair of birds. One is going to be an Ola and the other bird is going to be a Chatas. How is that determination of which bird is going to be an Ola and which bird is going to be a Chatas? The answer is declaration. Just simply point to one of the two birds and say that's the Ola and that's the Chatas. And Garul doesn't work over there. In other words, Garul cannot be the means of which you're going to make the determination of which bird's the chatas, which bird's the ola. Makam shekidesh haGarul, and didn't shekidesh haShem. So the Gemara says, now there, Garul doesn't work and declaration does. So, if there, Garul, if their declaration works in a place where Garul doesn't work, so you can only imagine now, says the Gemara, as it's trying to make an argument of a Kav HaChomer, that if a place where Garul does work, meaning the selection of the goats for Yom Kippur, so their shame declaration should also work, meaning Kav HaChomer. So the Gemara says, Tamalam Rav Asa Chatas, HaGarul Asa Chatas, V'Nashem Asa Chatas. So the Gemara says, so how are we going to defeat the Kav HaChomer? We're going to employ Drasha. And now the Gemara is bothered by a very simple question. Well, not so simple, but it's the Gemara is bothered by the following. Didn't you just say that anytime you have a halacha li'ikuva, we are not going to make a kav hachomer? Meaning we don't even have the ability to make a kav hachomer. Over here, we made a kav hachomer, and the only thing that stopped us from utilizing the kav hachomer is a special drasha. Otherwise, the Gemara was more than prepared to make a kav hachomer. So the Gemara says, "V'taima," and that's exactly the Gemara's point. "V'taima demiata kra lava achida shina kavachomer," and the only thing that stopped the kavachomer was an exclusionary pasuk. Short of that, we were ready to make the kavachomer. So afagav dekasa bechuka, and even though it says chok, and chok means it's leikuva. So the Gemara says, so we just violated the rule that you set forth. That anytime you have a halach likuva, we don't even make kavachomer. We're not even entitled to make a kavachomer, and you see that that's not true. So amakra alala. So velola yima. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we're back to our question. So our question was, how do I know that a yavama shouldn't be able to exit her relationship using a get? And again, we had a kav hachomer. So the Gemara says, the Gemara tried to stop the kav hachomer by saying, yeah, but the halacha of chalitza is likuva. The Gemara says, that doesn't matter. Even if it's likuva, we still have a right to make a kav hachomer. So the Gemara says, so what we have over here is gzer shava. Love lo liyivma. That when the Torah tells us the halachas of a get, the Torah says get only works in the context of marriage. And not for yibum. We learn it out through the exclusionary terms of law. So the Gemara says, v'yam Allah l'shma. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. We went through gittin, 90 days of gittin. One of the most basic halachas that we saw since day one, and it covered a good part of Masechet Gittin, is the halacha of l'shma. That when you write the get, you have to know who the husband is and who the wife is that you're writing it on behalf. If you don't, if you write a standardized get, and you just chose names, and then somebody comes over to you and says, hey, I'd like a get, and you go into your file and you index the name of him and his wife, that doesn't work. It has to be written l'shma. So the Gemara says, and that we learn out from the word law. How can you now learn out another halacha from the word law? So the Gemara says, trei laksivi. So the Gemara says, okay, but it says law on two occasions. Rashi goes to the psukim. If you read the psukim in the parsha of divorce, you'll see that it says law twice. And so now we're learning one halacha of law lishma, and a second halacha, which is that get and only get is going to be a means of severance between a husband and a wife. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. I already have both of the psukim dedicated. One law is coming to tell me that lishma. Another law is coming to tell me that a man cannot use one divorce document to divorce two of his wives. Let's say he married two women. Let's say they both share the same name. Not advisable, but let's say that happens. So the Gemara says, under those circumstances, I might have thought that he could basically use a get and recycle it for the other wife as well. Okay, that's what I just offered is Rashi's explanation of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Ela amakra na'al." Na'al in midachrini lo. So the Gemara says, finally, you're right. Meaning, your point is very well taken. Both laws in the Torah are spoken for in terms of drashas. So once again, question. How do I know that chalisa doesn't work in the context of severance of a marriage? So the Gemara's answer is, na'al. Na'al in midachrin alam. No, when it comes to the chalitza, the shoe is only appropriate for the chalitza, no, for no other area in halacha. Tanya, the Gemara says once again, how do you know that? Don't we have the word na'al teaching us other halachas? So for example, the Gemara gives a number of examples of halachas that we learn about from the word na'al. Na'alo ain li ala na'alo, na'al shall call adam inale. Now, the Torah says na'alo, which means that you have to use the shoe of the yavam. What if he borrowed somebody's shoe? Is that not going to work? So the Gemara says, tamalomer na'al na'al riba. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Torah repeats the word na'al, and the repetition of the word na'al is coming to tell me that the yavam could use anyone's shoe. So, imkema tamalomer na'alo, na'alo haruyalo. So the Gemara says, so why does the Torah use it in the possessive term, as if it has to be his shoe, when the truth of the matter is, it does not have to be his shoe? So the Gemara says, prat legadol shein yachol lahalech bo. So let's say the shoe doesn't fit. So, prat lekatan shein chofe es rov raglo. Either the shoe is too big, or the shoe is too small, in any one of those circumstances, that's what the Torah is coming to teach me with the word na'alo. Na'alo means it has to be a shoe that fits. How well does it have to fit? That's not clear, but in other words, it has to have some sort of fitting. So, shein chof is rov galo. Prat, lemesulim shein bo ekev. Or let's say, it's a shoe that doesn't have a sole. Okay, which is a funny way to even describe the item. Right, it's like a, I don't even know, right, whatever. It doesn't have a sole, it's not a whole shoe. So the Gemara says, that's what the word na'alo is coming to teach me. So now, once again, back to our question. Well, if that's true now, we don't have a drasha in the Chumash that tells us that the chalitza can't work in other areas, specifically by husband and wife. Imke nechtov kra na'al, my hana'al, Shema min atarta. The Gemara concludes that we have room to make this drasha. It is from the additional hay. The Torah didn't have to say the word hana'al, could have just simply said na'al. And so from that additional hay, we learn out that only in this arena in halacha, yavam and yavama, the chalitza is going to work. But no other area in halacha are we going to have yavam and yavama working. Okay, to summarize the Gemara succinctly, we basically and now have quoted sources in the Torah for all the halachas that were quoted at the end of our Mishnah. The fact that a yavam goes into marriage through bia and through no other way, the fact that a yavama can be extracted from her bonded zika state through either chalitza or through misas hayavam, the fact that there are no other ways that a yavam can go into the Yavama, into the Yavam Yavama relationship, the fact that there is no other way that a Yavama can be extracted from her Zika state. So all these are learned out through various drushas that we just went through in the Gemara. We move on in the parak. This is now the second Mishnah that we're covering, Yudal Amud Beis, top of the Amud, and that we're going to change gears over here in terms of topics of discussion. The first Mishnah talked about relationships, specifically that of marriage and quasi-marriage, Yibum, and basically what the Mishnah told us is how to enter into such a union and how to exit such a union. So now what the Mishnah is going to do is basically springboard from here to other types of unions that are going to be formed. Marriage, or in this case now, a union of servitude, right? Contracts, if you will, between an employer and an employee, but very specific types of employer-employee. And how to sever that relationship. So this is the topic of discussion that we're going to be starting. And we're going to really be focusing on Eved Ivri. Just obviously a couple words of introduction before we begin. First of all, an Eved Ivri is a Jew. And the term Eved is a little misleading. It sounds like he's a slave, and we know that, and generally speaking, when we talk about slavery, so he has owned a property, but that's not true when it comes to an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri is just a regular Jew who, for various circumstances, which I'm going to detail in just a moment, so he is now under contract. Under contract, can't break contract, and now is employed by his employer. But he's a Jew for all intents and purposes. And he's bound by all the halachas in the Torah, both mitzvahs esay, both mitzvahs the lavim, the los asays, the mitzvahs esay shazman grama, shalozman grama. For all intents and purposes, he is a Jew. With one notable exception, which we're going to talk later on, not today, and that is that if he comes in without a wife into the contracted labor, so then the owner can set him up with one of his shivcha kananis. It's a special halacha when it comes to the Eved Ivri, that he is allowed to have a union between him and a shivcha kananis, and they're going to produce children, but those children that are produced are not going to be, biologically they're going to be his, but halachically they're not going to be his. When he leaves, they don't come with him. The wife and the children don't come with him. Okay. But, and that's I don't want to say it so definitively, but that really is the only halacha that belies the fact that for all intents and purposes, he's a Jew. How do you get into a position of being an Eved Ivri? So there are a number of ways that this can happen. If you turn to the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, so the Torah describes Ki Sikna Eved Ivri Sheishanim Yavod Vashvitz Yisela Chavshi Chinam. So the Torah gives a description there in the beginning of Mishpatim of someone entering into an Eved Ivri union. What happened over there? So we're going to speak about this more as we go through the Gemara. But we'll see it later on. Just say it right now. He stole. He stole somebody's property, somebody's possessions, and he couldn't pay it back, and he doesn't have the means to pay it back. So Beis Din, once he's apprehended, taken to Beis Din, so Beis Din is going to say, okay, you're going to have to pay your way out of it. So what we're learning now in this Parsha is that the way that he pays his way out of it is servitude. So this is contracted service where he is indentured. He cannot get out of the contracted service. That's one way a person can become an Eved Ivri. As we know, the Torah goes on to describe, after 6 years, he can make a determination that he'd like to stay, he'll get his ear pierced, and that's what's called a nirtza. An Eved Ivri who is nirtza. He will go out only at the Yovel year. Next. Another way that you can enter into... Ritzia is to be pierced. Okay. Next. Another way that a person can enter into a state of being a Eved Ivri, or let's go to the female, the Ama Ivriya, is that the father can sell off his daughter. The father has the right to sell off his daughter. Now, as we've discussed already a number of times, the objective of the sale is eventually so that either the owner or the son of owner is going to marry her. A special type of marriage referred to as yid. However, that's the objective. Right now, the sale is a sale towards becoming an Ama Ivriya. That's another way in which you could be sold into this type of indentured servitude. Another way is described in Parshas. Both of those, by the way, are described in Parshas Mishpatim. Another way is described in Parshas Bahar. The Torah, in the end of Sefer Vayikra, Perek Chafei, describes also that a person is really impoverished, and he is going to sell himself over to a ger. Now, ger normally translates as a convert, as a full convert, but over here, it's really making a reference to someone who sells himself to a non-Jew. Ger over here just simply means that he is a resident living in Israel, but he's not a ger tzedek. He's not a full ger. It's a, debate in terms of what exactly, which mitzvahs he has to follow by. So those are a number of ways in which somebody can be sold into slavery. But again, slavery over here, not really the best way to describe it. It is really an indentured servitude. I work for somebody, I'm contracted to work for somebody, so how do you get into this and how do you get out of it? That's what we're going to be discussing in the course of our Gemara. Okay, so number one, the Mishnah starts off. We're now in the very top of Yudal Mid Beis, and we begin the Mishnah. Eved Ivri Nikna Bekesef Bashar. Now, in terms of an Eved Ivri, what's the means of Kenyan? Remember, in order to start the servitude, there has to be a formal Kenyan that's done on the front end in order to concretize the union. How is it formalized? So the Mishnah tells us one of two ways. It's either going to be done with Kesef and Shtar, either money or contract. The Kona Atzmo. Now that is how he enters into it. How is he extracted from this? So, number one says the Mishnah, Bishanim. Either years, meaning 6 years. The Torah in the beginning of Parshat Mishpatim describes that there's a 6 year maximum that it can be sold for. Yovel. Also, Yovel is going to release it. Meaning, if Yovel comes before the 6 years are up, Yovel also is going to extract him from his status of being an Eved Ivri. And finally, number three, Giron Kesef. Giron Kesef is basically paying his way out of the remaining portion of the contract. Meaning, we're going to prorate. We're going to find out what the original purchase price was for this Eved Ivri. We're then going to figure out how many years he worked, how many years are remaining in the contract, and we'll prorate, and he'll buy himself out of the contract with the remaining portion of the contract. Yesera lavama Yivriya, shikona es atzma b'simanim. Now, when it comes to an Ama Yivriya, so she has another way of releasing herself from her state of being an Ama Yivriya, and that is simanim. Once she becomes mature, physically mature, she's no longer an Ama Yivriya. Now, hanirtsa, now we go to an Eved Ivri who is an Eved Ivri plus. He loved it. He loved being an Eved Ivri. Loved it so much that he goes to his owner and said, you know what? Let's do this indefinitely. So he takes his ear, pierces it against the doorpost, and now he's going to be an Eved Le'olam. But as we know, Rashi Ben Chumash brings it down, the Gemara over here knows it as well, that it doesn't mean Le'olam, it doesn't mean indefinitely. It means, Le'olam means for the foreseeable future. But the foreseeable future ends at Yovel. Once Yovel comes around, so that's it. So, Hanirtsa, let me just finish the Mishnah and then I'll pause. Hanirtsa Nikna Beritzia, so the Nirtsa is going to be acquired through the Ritzia, meaning the act of Ritzia, aside from being a mitzvah, that is also going to be the means of kinyan in which now he will get this new status of being an Eved Ivri plus. He'll be a Nirtsa through the Ritzia. The Kornes Atzma B'Yovel Uve Mitzvah Sa'adon. And how does he acquire himself? He acquires himself through either Yovel or if his owner dies. Well, those are two ways in which he leaves his contract of service. Yeah, Hedding. Okay. Gemara is going to discuss that. Excellent. I mean, Rashi right here also discusses it, but all this is going to be spoken out in the Gemara. Let's start the Gemara's discussion. Eved Ivri nikna b'kesef minala. And how do I know that an Eved Ivri acquires himself through kesef? So the Gemara says, Amakrami kesef miknasa. So the Torah turns to Parashas Bahar. So the Torah describes that he's going to be acquired through kesef. Malamisha nikna b'kesef. So the Gemara says Ashkechan Eved Ivri nimkalo v'kochavim. So the ho v'chol kinyana b'kesef. So the Gemara says good, but the Parsha in Bahar is describing an Eved Ivri who's being sold to a non-Jew, as we discussed in the intro. So that's great. So now I know that an Eved Ivri can be acquired by a non-Jew. And the status is done through kesef, but the truth of the matter is that kol kinyano bekesef, that when it comes to a non-Jew, every means in which he is kone is done through kesef. But nimkar liyisrael minalan. But I want to know that how does the Eved Ivri, how do we know, what's the source that an Eved Ivri's contracted labor begins with kesef when it comes to a Jew, another Jew? Now, when the Gemara says kol kinyana bekesef, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi says something that's open for controversy. Rashi writes, I'm reading the Rashi inside, the second Rashi in the Gemara. Hol v'chol kinyano, shal ovi kocham v'kesef. Shalo ne'em rabo mishicha b'metatlan ela b'yisrael. Rashi says over here that in terms of methods of kinyanim, for goyim, for non-Jews, it is only kesef. There is no concept of mishicha as it relates to a non-Jew. The concept of mishicha, where I pull an item and I acquire through the mishicha, that is only specific to a Jew, says Rashi. Quotes the pasuk mi'al misecha, Ashim yishach mi'aliyah lefichach o eved nikna lo bekesef. So that is Rashi's statement over here. If you take a look at the first Tosfos, I'm not going to go through it inside right now, but and we're going to see this later on as well, and we're going to see this in the Gemara B'Metzia, and that is that this issue that Rashi brought down is actually a machlokes between Amoraim, between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And so the way Rashi is setting up our Gemara, it's maybe setting it up like Reish Lakish, and that's problematic. See Tosfos for another way to explain the Gemara. But in the meantime, again, let's go back to our Gemara. Our Gemara wants to know, what is the source that a Eved Ivri can be acquired through Kesef? So the Gemara quoted the pasuk from Parshas Bahar, but the Gemara rejects, because that only tells us that when the Eved Ivri sold to a non-Jew, it can be done through Kesef. I want to know, what's the source that when an Eved Ivri sold to a Jew, the method of kinyan is done through Kesef? So the Gemara says, Amakrav Avdei. So the Gemara says, well, the Torah says Vahavdei. Now that takes us to the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. However, as we also pointed out in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, first the Torah describes the Eved Ivri that is sold by Beis Din, and then the Torah describes the father selling his daughter as an Am Ivriya. So there the Torah says Vahavdei. Vahavdei means that she's going to be redeemed. How can redemption be done? By buying her out of the contract. Well, how did she get into the contract? It must be that it must have been done through Kesef. Otherwise, how would we have known what the buyout price is going to be? It must be Kesef got her into it. So Ashkechanam Ivriya Hol Mikacha Bekesef Mikne Bekesef. So the Gemara says, okay, Am Ivriya, I understand, I get. Since an Am Ivriya is Nikdash Bekesef, the father can accept Kesef Kiddushin for his daughter. He can also sell his daughter for Kesef as well. So the Gemara says, that I get. However, how do I know Eved Ivri Minalan? But when I go back to the Parsha of Eved Ivri, which is the previous Parsha in Parshas Mishpatim, how do I know that his kinyan is done through Kesef? Amar Kra ki im kor lecha achicha ha-Ivri, o ha-Ivriya, v'avdecha sheishanim. So the Gemara says, because you look in Devarim, Parshas Re'eh, and the Torah describes where you either have an Ivri or an Ivra being sold. Mekish Ivra Livriya. So that creates now a Hekish. That creates a Hekish. And that Hekish now tells us that in a circumstance where either an Ama Ivriya or an Evrit Ivri sold into his status, into his labored status, so can be done with Kesef. And we know Am Ivriya can be done with Kesef, as we already got done pointing out. So the Hekesh now tells us that that's true also for the Eved Ivri as well. Ashkechan Machur Bezdin, Hol V'Nimkar Bakarcho, Mocher Atzma Minalan. Now, so far all we know is someone who was sold against his will. The beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, the Eved Ivri described over there is Machur Bezdin, where Bezdin sells him. The Am Ivriya is where the father sells her. So in those circumstances, I know that if they're sold against their will, the means of kinyan can be done with Kesef. How about somebody who opts to sell themselves? They're just simply in a terrible financial state. So they're selling themselves. How do I know that that could be done with Kesef? Yalev Schar Sechir. Sechir Sechir. So the Gemara says, we're learning it out now through Gzera Shava. So the Gemara says, well, we don't know this. We don't know who the Tana is yet, but there is a Tana out there who doesn't learn out this Gzera Shava. And if you reject the Gzera Shava, which we'll see later on, so then where do I know? So Amakra V'chisasig. So the Gemara says, because if you look in Vayikra, you'll see it says V'chisasig with the Vav, with the connecting Vav. Most of Alinyan Rishon. V'yilamin El Yomitachton. So the Gemara says that Vav connects the two Parshios in Parshas Bahar, one where Beis Din sells you, one where you sell yourself, and that Vav creates now a communication between these two Parshios. And just like when somebody is sold by Beis Din, it can be done through Kesef, so too when someone sells themselves, it could also be done through Kesef as well. Pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from because we're going to start a lengthy Brisa and a lengthy description of the Brisa. So it's really a good place to pause, and also the time is up. So let's just quickly recap. Today we finished off the Mishnah, the first Mishnah of our Masechta, describing how a Yavam and Yavama enter relationship, how they exit the relationship. The sources for this for these halachas, it covered the first half of today's daf, Yudal Med Aleph. And Yudal Med Beis, starting the Mishnah, now enters into new types of contracted unions between people, specifically Eved Ivri and Ama Ivriya. Where there, how do they get into the contracted relationship? How do they exit the contracted relationship? That's the discussion that we start with the new Mishnah. And then the Gemara, all we've done so far this morning is just cite the source in the Torah where an Eved Ivri can enter into his contracted state through Kesef. How do I know that's true when an Eved Ivri that's sold by Beis Din, that sold the Ama Ivriya that's sold by the father, and an Eved Ivri that sells himself? How do I know all that? So the Gemara quoted Psukim, that Drashas, that gave us all these sources.